Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Thunderdome Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 19th. I am your host, Troy Chang. Well, they say revenge is a dish best served cold. Well, in the first round of the playoffs, it was time to see if three teams were force-fed cold portions of defeat. Three out of the four quarterfinal games featured a repeat matchup of the previous Week 14. Did any of these previously winning teams have their opponents figured out? Or were the previously losing teams resting their starters and playing things close to the vest to set up better matchups so that they would have an easier opponent for the playoffs? Well, one thing we know for sure. The Final Four is set for the semifinals in the Thunderdome. All right, let's bring him in. He is our commissioner and the co-host extraordinaire, Wanzi. How you doing, Wanzi?
Doing well, Rump. How are you doing? Hope you had a good week.
It was a good weekend. We're getting closer to the holidays, almost time for Christmas. Your family, you ready for Christmas already?
Christmas is going to be epic, as usual. It's my favorite time of the year. We got a lot of family coming into town, of course. So This will be the Vegas Christmas week this year.
So is everyone excited that you're back based out of Vegas so that they can come visit Vegas?
Yeah, I think I'm just excuse. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, we want to come visit you. They're like, we got plans every day.
They're like, when you were in Utah, they're like, we'll be there soon, Wanzi. We'll be there soon.
Maybe, that's right.
When you're in Texas, we'll be there. Maybe we should. But once it's back in Vegas, like, hey, Christmas is going to be at your place, right, Wanzi?
That's right. You know, Vegas is a place that attracts, the family, the strangers, the friends. It's a magical place for the holidays where you could just go have some fun, go eat some great food without cleaning up anything.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, it is a great time of year. I can't believe that Christmas is right around the corner now. But before we get to that, I guess we're going to have to look back at Week 15, the first week of the playoffs. And, once the regular season had ended, four teams were whittled down. And, well, four more teams are going to be cut down because we know in the end there's only one team that can be happy. But the first round of playoffs knocked off four people. And the first one we're looking at – oh, before I get to that, I guess, of course, Week 15 – we did not escape without more injuries.
That's right.
More injuries going down in Week 15. Some fairly big ones there. We got a couple of quarterbacks. Again, backups galore in the NFL, and even the backups are going down now. We lost, Will Levis, high ankle sprain. He looked like he was providing some fantasy support, but, he's questionable. It looks like he's probably out for the semifinal weekend. We're looking at Ryan Tannehill coming back. Trevor Lawrence, after the game was over, turns out he had a concussion, so he's questionable for this week. Zach Wilson, I think it's a concussion. In the game, they were talking about his respiratory problem. I think he just wanted out, right?
Yeah, he played so putrid that they're like, okay, yeah, let's just create an injury designation.
Yeah, it's they want him out, but that Jets offensive line is so terrible. He might have been just like, look, I need to get out. I'm probably have to go to a different team next year. I'm trying to, save my health. And, narrative that Aaron Rodgers may come back, that is out the door. There's no way he's going to come back behind this putrid offensive line that the Jets have.
Yeah, you would think they would do something better in the off season. You know, instead of filming that Hard Knocks, they could have got a couple more offensive linemen, knowing that they got an immobile quarterback and a shell-shocked, second year player. So yeah, it's another lost year for the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of cap situation they're in, but they better invest in some offensive line, with Rodgers coming off of that Achilles injury. So so Zach Wilson's out. Who knows who this quarterback's gonna be for the Jets? It's hard to think that they'll be of any fantasy relevance anyways. So running backs, Keaton Mitchell was providing some work, but he goes down with a bad ACL, so he's out. Zach Moss was filling in well, scored a TD, but he hurt his arm, so again, he's questionable. There's still some question whether JT's gonna be able to come back still. Let's see, we got the big one, Ja'Marr Chase. Takes a big hit and sprains his AC joint. So it looks like he is going to be very doubtful for week 16. That's a big blow to fantasy managers of Ja'Marr Chase. And the other one, Michael Pittman Jr., takes like a vicious blow, an illegal blow to the head, bent backwards, practically diving for a ball. That was bad. So he's out. It's hard to say whether he's going to be back. And Zay Jones pulled up with a hamstring. So he's out. He just came back, was looked like he was doing well for the Jags. But yeah, it's fantasy manager, these three wide receivers are gonna have to look elsewhere.
Yeah, Jaden Reed for the Packers had an ankle injury or some other desert toe injury, I think. So he's probably won't be available as well. And then, of course, Jacobs, my running back, also. So this has been a plagued year of injuries at untimely end of the season. And when you look at the team, like my second, third, fifth, seventh, draft picks were out of action when it came time to crucial. But hey, I had a great season. This has been another fantastic 23, and making it to the playoffs was the win enough.
Oh man, so let's look at one of our matchups here. We had TLA versus Variant. It looked like Variant was a slight favorite going in, and in the end, TLA pulled away, came up with a very easy victory. He was sweating out a little bit early Sunday, but by the end of Sunday, even going into Monday, he had a lot of players going, so he felt pretty good at that time. Variant, his combination of Breece Hall and Jerome Ford really didn't do much. Breece Hall only 2.8 points, part of that putrid Jets defense. Even Kelce, an underwhelming 7.8 points. Coop came through at 25.1, but it just wasn't enough. He didn't realize, I think it was a Saturday game, I guess. Patterson, I think, got benched. So his kicker, he basically went without any kicker there. So it was a tough going for him. Hurts not having a great game for TLA, but still in the 20s, 21.92. And then Monday, Kenneth Walker III, 20.2 points. And previously, his New Orleans defense gave him 21, Isaiah Likely 18, and Deontay Johnson even 16.2. And that putrid Pittsburgh's offense still gave him enough. So in the end, it was a comfortable win for TLA.
Yeah, I feel like last week should have been this week, and vice versa for all these teams. If Variant scored 104 points, I would be facing TLA, and I would have a chance to beat instead of getting rocked. And yet again, Variant, he puts in Patterson, who gets him 0 points. He was down by over 26 points, and just like last year's championship, he had high hopes for his kicker. Didn't deliver, unfortunately, and now he's out of the playoffs, with me. But like I said, he had a great season, with a lot of the injured players he picked up from his draft position, but he couldn't overcome the 21 points for the Saints defense against that putrid Giants offense.
Oh
Six
man,
points.
yeah, that
You
Giants
know, I
offense.
mean, wow. What a terrible, offensive output for the whole season for the Giants.
Yeah, and like you said, They had just played in week 14 where Variant had beat TLA. But again, three of the matches were a revenge spot, and this was one of them. And TLA gets the more important win. He gets that first week playoff win. So again, TLA back with a vengeance there. And that goes to our second matchup. This also was a rematch of a week 14 matchup. And on this one, I almost feel like Two Men Enter, One Man Leave almost purposely lost in week 14 to give 58 some false sense of hope. Two Men Enter, One Man Leave was maybe resting his stars, telling you, say, hey, we're already in the playoffs. We got the number one seed locked up, so we're just going to rest a little bit here. And it was like once the playoffs started, everyone's back in the fold. You know, 58, as only 58 could, I believe, gooched himself when early morning he was you know, taunting Ron, saying Rovin hit him, you know, implying that, hey, this game is over. Ron has no players left. But I think 58 forgot about the insider information that Ro gets on those services, and he's able to pick up some big backups here. He literally the morning of, he found that he had no Tyreek Hill, so no problem. Noah Brown comes in 22.20, so no problem for Two Men Enter, One Man Leave. Trey McBride gets 20.2. Rashad White, unbelievable year that Rashad White has had. What a draft value, 21.9. And then, of course, Baker Mayfield with a perfect passer rating at Green Bay, 37.04. This turned into a laugher. 58, you know, started out with 28 points from Las Vegas. He was feeling himself. 58 thought he was feeling good. But in the end, he got 7.4 out of Kittle, 5.9 out of Wilson, 9.6 from Elliott. And 58, after starting out hot, ends up with only 114.06, and he gets crushed by Two Men Enter, One Man Leave, 136.14. 58 was poked the wrong bear there, Wanzi.
Talk about a deflation, you know, moment. After Thursday night, you know, 28 points, he was on high. He was designed on track to hit the high score. I predicted he would be the high score this week, and then his team just fell flat. I mean, on a day that Purdy, my quarterback, had, I think he had four touchdown passes. Yep. Kittle, you know, can't even get one. I mean, and he's awesome. So it was a really disappointing effort from his team. I think, you know, Roe basically may have thrown the match so Pigs would get into that final position, knowing that he could take Pigs out easily in the first round.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to give it to Roe. You know, he's the wide receiver, running back, whisperer. He had Myers and Addison, who both played earlier, so he couldn't use them on Sunday.
Yeah.
So who does he choose when Tyreek Hill is out? Noah Brown, the guy – basically had, I've had him for 2 weeks in a row, and he had 0 points, literally 0 points. He had four targets, no catches in the prior 2 weeks. He picks him up, and guess what? 22 points. You got to admit, Roe is the wide receiver whisperer. He deserved this win, and you got to put it, Mayfield, come on, four touchdown passes against the Packers in Green Bay? I mean, he just probably just got himself a new NFL contract as a result of this one performance, this game against. And you're telling me Mayfield to do all that and not have a place in this league as a starter? Yeah, I don't think so. So great result for Roe. Two men, he moves on. And, you know, just a spectacular, unexpected result, because I pretty much believe that 95% of the league believe Pigs was going to pull this one out and do the, you know, the repeat W dance, you know.
But no, 58, let's Ron move on. And so Ron is once again one step closer to the trophy. Like I said, 58 just did what 58 does. And like I said, as you mentioned, I think Ron probably gave Pigs the win in week 14 just to make sure that he would be matched up with 58 in the first round.
That's right.
Round. So,
that's right.
Ron was playing mind games with 58. So, well, yeah, so that is two of the four teams into the semifinals. Let's take a break here, and we're going to bring in our guest of honor. All right, Wanzi, it's time to bring him in. He is the highest score of the week and also the biggest blowout of the week. It is Peter from Raw's Empire. Peter, come on into the podcast.
All right, I'm here. I made it.
Welcome back for the third time and the most important time of the season.
Yes, it's good to still be alive at this point in the season.
It's unbelievable. You know, so, you know, it's, of course, a little bit of a shorter podcast this week because we've got a less matchups to go through. We did quickly go over the two of the matchups of the quarterfinals. Of course, it was TLA taking down Variant in the end pretty easily. Variant has the lowest score of the week, actually. And then, you know, two men enter, one man leave. Ron, we kind of suspect that Ron might have purposely lost to 58 the week before, week 14, to make sure that he got to play 58 in the first round of playoffs so that he would have a sure victory. He even let 58 get him a little full himself. You know, 58 was feeling like he had the upper hand Sunday morning, and Ron quickly put him into place.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure I don't make that same mistake as Danny did. I don't know why he jinxed himself like that.
Yeah, completely goosed himself. Wanzi, you know, Peter, his team put such a beat down. He did so much to get his team to be ready for this playoff matchup. It really took a physical toll on Peter. So Peter's coming into the podcast this week playing hurt. He's under a little bit of a cold, but he's still able to power through.
I had to make sure I was here. I wouldn't miss this. You know, I have to make sure there's no podcast curse. You know, I need that extra podcast love and make sure I have everything I can going against a very, very strong team, as you saw. And two men enter, one man leave.
This is why Peter is, on a heater, because, you know, he went into Saturday. His team was putrid. They weren't performing, and I thought, you know, I might have an outside chance, very slim, maybe 2%, 3% chance, but there was a chance. And unfortunately, Sunday came out, St. Brown went crazy, Jared Goff had 5 touchdown passes. I mean, Jared Goff, come on, this guy against Denver, who's been shutting down quarterbacks, you know, it's almost like, they didn't show up. You saw a screening match between Russell Wilson and Peyton. It was just everything was going wrong. And then you even had what we call the crazy Miami defense against the Jets, 30 points. You know, you had McLaurin, who's done zero. You know, this guy was like, is he playing? Is he going to show up this week? And against the Rams, he pulls up 26 points. And I said, you know what? This is surely Ra's day, Ra's week. You know, he was so putrid the week before that he pushed me to fourth place, you know, or to fourth place. And I wanted to move back to sixth, but his team was so bad I couldn't bench any players to get into that, you know, that pivotal position against Variant. And he played it perfectly. We had 4 rematches. And I believe every team that won lost this week, which is crazy. I just have one question. I just have one question for Peter. Okay.
Yeah.
And the question is, what do you think of season 3 of Singles Inferno? Because I'm on vacation and I've been catching up on Singles Inferno this whole weekend, not even thinking about football.
Yeah, I'm not gonna worry about any shows till this season's done. So
yeah, see, that's why he's favored. He's multiple podcast entrance to the podcast for high score, and he has to be one of the favorites. Obviously, yeah. The four remaining teams reigning, bro.
Yeah. Like I said, this was out of the four matchups. This was the third. Revenge spot, like you said, you had beat him in week 14, but out of the ashes of his, like you said, his worst week, he bounces back with a 171.12 win, knocks you out. Zookzilla's 118.08 was all that you could do. You know, you had Purdy going, 33.68. Kamara gave you your 16.0. But like you said, even the Chicago 21-point defense was not enough when, like you, as you mentioned, Goff went off. You know, he even got like a fourth down touchdown at the end of the game where really they just had to kill the clock, but he just scored another touchdown. And of course, that was stacked with Amon-Ra St. Brown, 24.2. Kyren Williams, you know, again, could be the steal of the draft. I don't know who is more valuable, Kyren Williams, 24.5, or Rashad White. You know, I guess Rashad White was at least drafted. Kyren Williams,
that's right,
was a free agent, and Ra was the one who was able to get him. So he's more than making up for Najee Harris. He only scored 1.3. But, you know, of course, James Conner, he could have used James Conner and made this total higher even with 17.9. And then, of course, McLaurin coming out of nowhere again with 26.1. You know, the one solace for you, Wanzi, is that you could say that actually with all the losing teams this week, at least you could say you pretty much put your best team in. You didn't really leave any points on the bench of consequence. All of these wins would have happened regardless of what the losing team would have done with their lineup. So it's just what could you do, Zooks, right?
It was, yeah, 100%.
His sun shined too brightly, and you couldn't get near.
I felt like we're back in the Egypt times when they're building the pyramids, and the sun god was out, and, you know, the Egypt was the center of the world. And there's nothing you can do. Alien technology came and destroyed the primitive hunter and gatherers. So, you know, you got to give it to Ra. He's certainly alien technology. He's got it this year. He's got something going on. 171 in week 15. You got it. That's probably one of the highest scores of the whole season. And what timing to bring it out. Although it's wasted because I only scored 118 points, but you got to give it to Peter. You know, he's built an incredible team, and basically you said it right. Kyren Williams, undrafted. He's one of the top fantasy players this season, paired with his team UPS. Yeah. Brown and Brown delivered again. And it's just, it's a marvel to see. And I can't wait till next week's matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So Peter Booz on into the semifinals. So there was one matchup left, and that was the Rump Shakers taking down 12th Man Wolfpack. And
the most watched matchup.
This was the most nervous matchup of the week. It was nerve-wracking for me. Wolfpack had these players that he were using against me. Of course, Mostert becoming, with his two TDs, becoming a record-setting Miami back, one of the highest TD scoring in Miami Dolphins history. And, of course, Amari Cooper with a 20.9 score. An amazing showing for a player that everyone thought was a throwaway player, but as you can see, Amari Cooper was actually Pac-Man's highest scorer of the week.
And yet,
Eclipsing Patrick Mahomes, even. Patrick Mahomes.
Peter, I have to change my shoes right now. My shoes are inundated with some poop. You know, that's coming out. I don't know where it's coming from, but my shoes are full of like 4 feet of poop. Yeah. Right? I need a change. Hold on a second. You take over. You take over.
I squeaked by with a victory.
Week by. Oh my goodness.
You know, I got 0 points for a Kincaid, and you know, Murray only gave me 15.34.
Get to your point, CMC.
Yeah. Who was the highest? Man. Yeah, what happened there? What's going on there? I can't see the screen. It's so dark.
Yeah.
Didn't you get almost 80 points from the two players that you just so happened to get from Wolfpack?
This fair trade, by the way, Peter. The fairest trade that was unquestioned fair trade, right?
Well, you know, it just happened to be that Pollard ran into a bad matchup, and he was game scripted out of that game. But had Dallas been in that game, you know, Pollard would have been much more crucial to that offense. But you know, Buffalo happened to do well. I don't know why. Buffalo just got lucky, I guess.
Got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Peter, we had this big discussion last week with Pigs.
I know. It was actually the most entertaining podcast episode of the
Yes. You know, Rump was doing the flipper. He was backpedaling like crazy. He was trying to come up with every reason to justify this trade is a fair one. And, you know, he didn't want the moniker of bamboozler. You know, he did everything he could, but you know, this is everybody was fearing, you know, and it came true in, of course, when it mattered, week 15. And now you see, let's see if we get a fair, objective, you know, non-partial, because you know, Rump last week was like, oh, I'm the host, I cannot be partial to anything. You know, I gotta be like the Switzerland, you know. And so let's see the fair analysis that he will show about the trade. What? So that's everybody's been asking. Was the trade fair? Was the trade, you know, even as so adamantly stated last week's podcast? So let's ask him the question. This a fair trade?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Rump, this is objective time. Let's see the objective, non-subjective. Fair trade after this week?
I will say that it is, from what I said from the beginning, I said it is a reasonable trade. It's not a ridiculous trade. It's not a bamboozle trade. It is a reasonable trade.
And again, what's your reasoning for?
Wanzi, you're claiming that this was going to be a karma game. I believe that it was a karma game because you know what? I'm up here, you know, defending the honor of Pac-Man. You guys are besmirching his good name, and I'm like, and I'm sitting here having to defend Pac-Man and his astute evaluation of the trade. You know,
all we want to hear is you admitting that you won the trade.
Yes. Is that so hard?
Week after week after week, all you keep denying. We just, yes, this is proof right here. This was the final proof.
Well, Peter is the voice of reason. He's the optometrist with integrity on trades on the Thunderdome podcast. And Peter is a voice of reason. And so we just want to hear something other than it was a reasonable, subjective opinion by the Rumpmaster.
Come on. This was a reasonable trade. Now, in the end, yes, I came up on top of it because head-to-head, I won. But yes, having said that, I'm going into the trade hoping that I did come up on the better end of the trade or that it will benefit me.
But is this like the Hope Diamond on the Titanic? Where it's lost forever?
It doesn't mean that it didn't benefit both parties. It might have benefited more one, because I was already set up with my team overall because of the drafting that I had done previously, that the trade would help me more in the end. But again, I think it was an effective trade for both parties involved, which is, again, what a trade should be, right? The best trades is going to help both teams. When we ran into each other, yes, this week it happened to benefit me more. But
What percentage? I'm a math guy.
We played earlier during the week, right? Earlier during the season.
I'm a math guy.
He beat me then. So at that time, it was a bad trade. He had beat me with those players, right?
I don't think that's true. But let me just ask you, what percentage is in favor of you? What percentage of the trade would people say, yeah, you know what? I think Rump is like 52% better than Wolfpack on the trade. Was it 50%, 60%? Because I think reasonable would be maybe 55%. So what percentage would you say it was from bamboozled, 100%, to reasonable trade at 55%? So yeah, 55 to what percent would you say that you won this one?
From 55 to 60% for me.
But, so you would say 60% was a favorable, reasonable trade.
Yes, 60% in my favor for the trade. But again,
we can't say anything that will make Troy understand, because he lives in his own bubble.
No, you have to understand what Pac-Man did.
Just like liars, the more they say something, they say it till they think it's true. That's what Troy is doing right now.
I'm thinking of a movie, Peter, called Wolf of Wall Street. And Rump is like the wolf of fantasy. You know, he's in his own mind, his own bubble, that pretty soon he's going to be throwing midgets against the wall. Because that's a fun exercise.
Look, the proof is in the pudding. Week 13. Rump Shakers against Pac-Man, and Pac-Man won 129.2 versus my 121.08. So again, I took the trade, and that loss right there, that part, you know, kept me from being able to get the number one seed and be the regular season winner. I lost that because I made that trade. So that trade certainly hurt my team, but you know, this week the matches were in my favor.
Did you just say this trade hurt your team?
It did hurt my team. I couldn't win the regular season because of it. Again, there's no better proof than looking at week 13 head-to-head matchup, and he beat me. I lost because of that trade.
And there's also no better proof with week 15 for the other way around, right?
Well, week 15 was the reason why I tried to have some foresight I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. But, and again, this is why it's a 55 to 60% in my favor. But, you know, that's the way a good trade is, probably that way, you know. But there's a team that's going to need to make them move more than the other team, and that's why the trade's made. And, hey, Pac-Man had to make that trade to survive. And so, like I said, I don't blame him for making that trade. I think it was a very smart trade for him. It was the most he could get out of that player. You know, so like I said, I take offense to you guys, you know, besmirching him, you know, calling to question his fantasy acumen, you know. So I back Pac-Man, and you know, He was doing what he had to do to survive.
Moving on.
Yes. What could you say, Peter? You know, it's 11 team managers versus one. You know, even I told you, Pac-Man Wolfie was like, I had a weak moment. I'm not sure what happened. He regretted the trade as soon as he accepted. And we all said, I don't understand why you added James Cook.
Yeah.
And Rump seems to think he did it on purpose. He had to add him to make it, you know, it was a throwaway player, I don't have to insult the logic of everyone. You know, you may have not made the playoffs, you still had a great season, but let's not insult the logic and reasoning of the rest of the team managers, right? We're listening to you, and every time you speak, saying that this was a reasonable, fair 60% trade in your favor, yes, the credibility seems to be almost zero.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously, there wasn't anybody else who offered him anything better. So, you know, Pac-Man obviously took the best offer given to him. So we'll have to, like I said, we'll move on because, hey, we have the semifinal set up now. Two games left for week 16. We've got two men enter, one man leave. Again, the number one seed moving along. And, you know, like I said, I do think he planned that loss out to 58 so that he made sure 58 got that A spot. Because had Squishy got in, you know, when you look at the other teams that were out, most of them, you know, probably wouldn't have that great of a day. They would have all lost in that A spot except for Squishy. Squishy's team went off, and Ron probably knew that Squishy's team had that potential. And so he made sure that 58 would get in and Squishy would stay out, because had Squishy got that A spot, if he had made it, he would have taken Ron out. But instead, Ron, with his savvy veteran move, made sure 58 was in. And so now he lines up against Peter in this semifinal matchup, you know, but now he has the hottest team, Peter's, Raw's Empire, going into it. But Peter, like you said, I don't think you'll take him lightly like 58 did. How are you feeling going up against Ron here?
Ron is like the, you would say, the GM of the year. He is, I don't know where he comes up with these moves. Sorry, hold on. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he picked up DeVito and put him in the lineup, and DeVito goes off for like 30, 40 points. It's amazing, that, you know. I don't know how Ron does it. He can find that talent somehow. He's like the Jerry West of fantasy football.
I wonder if he's calling down to Houston and telling them, hey, you know what, keep Stroud on the bench one more week, let's let that guy heal up, because it's gonna be all right this week, so let's heal him up in case I need him in the next week. So yeah, he was worried that Stroud was being knocked out, calling him his QB1, but obviously Mayfield is his QB1, and Mayfield is doing amazing work. And then same thing.
You know, this week's waiver wire pickups list, Baker Mayfield is a QB. Well, Ron already has him. They list, what did they list? Noah Brown Ron already has him. Like, there's no one to pick up because Ron already picked them up.
Yeah. Those waiver wire pickups that we all, the rest of us, get to read, those are only for those free sites. You know, Ron's got those premium sites where they've got experts that know a week ahead who's going to be the waiver wire pickups for everyone else. So, you know, unfortunately, we are all a little disadvantaged when it comes to picking waiver wires. But Wadzi, you know, looking at the lineup, you know, Ron is going to, you know, it's hard to say what his actual lineup is going to be, Wanzi, because some of his players are a little bit questionable. And even if they're not, you know, Ron, he's going to mix and match his lineup. And we don't know what the optimal lineup is. Ron knows. But if you had to predict, Wanzi, you think he's going to make some movement here? Or you think
this is the entire lineup? You know, last week, you know, Ron, he bamboozled me too, because, you know, he put in his like B and C team and he gave me false hope that I might have a chance that, you know, something could happen to Peter. He could fall asleep, not change his lineup, and only project 75 points. You know, so I think Rowe is doing the same thing. You know, yeah. He has some of his players. It's, I would say, hopeful. He has Jonathan Taylor. Who knows if he's coming back? You know, Olave, he didn't play. Tyreek, he was out. You know, and he has some players on the bench, you know, that I think could definitely benefit him, especially Addison.
Yeah.
You know, but he hasn't played Addison all year. So, you know, I'm not sure. You know, Myers, you know, potentially has a good game with Aiden O'Connell finally, you know, being able to throw the ball. So this is going to be a very tough matchup. You know, I'm thinking Raw with Najee Harris and the kind of the putrid quarterback play he's getting. They went to A.J. McCarron, who, you know, he's best known for his girlfriend, you know, A.J. McCarron, right? Then football. So we'll see if AJ is going to be the answer, being able to hand off to Najee. But you got to believe in Team Brown. You know, they're just incredible duo. He has one of the top two receivers. I was looking at the top 10 receivers, and I think Brown and Brown was like 2 and 5. You know, so I think, but it's going to be dependent on Goff. You know, can he defeat that Minnesota defense and get, you know, maybe 3 touchdowns, not 5, but how about 3? So it's going to be one of the best matchups, and you can see the projections. You know, it's very close.
Yeah,
but
close. I do think Peter's got some you know, decisions he's probably still contemplating. You know, it was rough seeing Najee Harris get only one basically 1 point. He does have James Conner going up against Chicago, so it may be a little bit more enticing lineup. You know, and I think the Steelers are going to go with Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph, huh?
Yeah.
And that Steelers team is so bad. I can't believe how bad they are.
Yeah,
Mason Every Rudolph, player on their team.
But is it going to be it's going to be Christmas weekend, so maybe Rudolph is, this is his weekend? Who knows?
Yeah.
Peter's going to have to depend on Rudolph to pull the Steelers along with him there. But I mean, that's got to be at least you got one lineup decision you got to make, right?
Hey, I was just thinking, you know, his kicker, Koo, he was also sick. And I think Peter, he was trying to motivate him so bad that Peter got you sick, Koo sickness.
Yeah.
His cold.
Younghoe Koo to get over his sickness. I need Jalen Hurts to get better so he can feed AJ Brown. You know, we got a week, less than a week. Hopefully everyone feels better when game time.
Like I said, you got to give him you got to take a little hot toddy to him, just like you got to take yourself. Don't you think, Wadzi, that's like the best thing for a cold? You got the hot toddy, you got the alcohol to make you feel better, you got the honey in it to soothe your throat, and you got the lemon to add a little antioxidant, and then the warmness of it all just to soothe the throat and calm the head. Peter should be like drinking hot toddy by the gallons, don't you think?
Yeah, NyQuil there's a reason why NyQuil is the number one, you know, cold medication in the wintertime. You know, you could lock up and get that preservation going. You know, you could pre-cold your body, pre-prevention by, you know, having constant hot toddies throughout the season. And so I think this is going to be an incredible matchup, deserving of the semifinal. I think this is pretty much, you know, the two of the three, or the three top scorers are in the, you know, next round. And week 16 is going to be just a battle royale. It's going to be a dogfight. And I expect very tight, not like the matchups we've seen this week, but tight team points, meaning probably 5 points or less on each of the matchups is going to be the difference.
Right, right. It'll definitely be a good matchup. And like we said, at the on the other half of the semifinals, it is TLA stands before me. It's going to be Rum Shakers versus TLA in a very nerve-wracking weekend in Summerlin, Las Vegas. It's going to be a battle royale.
What? What were you talking about? What game are you talking about? Are we seeing week 16? What week are you talking about, bro?
You know, TLA, you know, he's like you said, slow play has light up a little bit there. He's got Jamar Chase, who luckily is already ruled out, so he doesn't have to wonder whether he has to put someone in or accidentally have someone being ruled out the morning of the game. He's already picked up Jackson Smith in Gijba. I don't know how to say that. with an awesome performance this past Monday night, a highlight catch reel. So he has a wide receiver ready to go. Possibly might get Ramondre Stevenson back. It's hard to say. He's got a questionable tag to start this week. But like I said, Hurts going on Monday, Christmas Day. He's got Swift on Monday, likely on Monday, Elliott on Christmas Day. So, we've got a lot of players, him and I, he's got some main characters going. I got some main running backs going. So Monday, Christmas Day, me and TLA are going to be pretty stressed out there on Christmas Day.
All I know is we got to send a lot of love TLA's way, help him get out of the semifinal round for the first time ever.
Yeah, we're commenting, Peter, we're commenting last year. This TLA, he's like the only one left that didn't win a championship. Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, no, Squishy has.
Yeah, Squishy hasn't either.
Squishy hasn't,
and TLA hasn't.
If Jefferson didn't get hurt so early, he had the top position. AI could have had a chance. And as you see, his team, when Jefferson came back, was very formidable. So just bad timing. But I think this is going to be a laugher. This is not even going to be worthy of tracking the players. I think James Cook against the Chargers, Zamir White had like over 19 points he had three carries like the whole season, averaged three carries like the whole season. So I think James Cook's going to go off on the Chargers, probably get 30 plus points again, which would equal at least three or four players that TLA has.
Yeah. I mean, Troy's team is unbeatable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to counteract Troy's. Oh, my goodness. His reverse psychology that he plays, where he's always playing the downtrodden team who can't ever win and has no chance of winning. This is, he did today. Apparently, he gave my daughter a ride home after practice and makes a statement. Man, I can't. I'm so upset that Peter's in the semifinals or whatever it was, and he's gonna win and he's gonna win another championship. My team has no chance.
Very likely.
Like, are you kidding me?
I'll tell you what, Wazi. I'll tell you why I had to say that or mention that to her, because Peters is having a really good year, and it's suspiciously is making a lot of good pickups, like as you said, like Kyren Williams. And as you notice, he also picked up Jake Browning last week, which had a really, really good outing. And I'm like, man, these are some suspiciously really good moves. I was like, did Ron tell him what the pace that he was using? I was wondering, like, what is going on? But I kind of realized what happened, because this year there is another league, and this is, that Peter was traditionally in. And, Peter doesn't make too much hay in that league, and he handed over the reins this year to his son Kenny, and lo and behold, Kenny's team is pretty powerful, one of the favorites. He also moved on into the semifinals of that league, and I noticed all the key pickups are the same pickups that Peter had. So now I'm wondering, actually Kenny the one that is making Peter's team so good this year?
So we have another Luke situation.
Exactly. This is another Luke situation where he's getting unfair help from his son, and the son is actually making all these great moves.
And you, it doesn't make sense because all these players are millennials. Uh-huh. You know, they're barely over 21, 22. And so who better to relate than another kid who's a similar age that can relate to the culture of this, the youth. And these millennials are really taking the league over. So, yeah, that's a, we need to actually, we should do an audit and trace back all the pickups, you know, Peter's had well, to see no, how in concert, you know, what's the correlation?
I'll be honest, you know, Kenny is a diehard Rams fan, so I would not have Kyren Williams if it wasn't for him. So, yes, Kyren Williams, I will give that credit to Kenny.
Oh, man.
So, well, like, what the- a, it's a family. It's a family decision, and you gotta say, you know, this is one of the best seasons I've seen from a fantasy team that was really out of position in drafting, but he made incredible moves. And again, finishing, you know, in the top three overall scores, even with, you know, this, the questionable trade that occurred to be in the top three is no easy feat this season.
No, no, not at all. But like I said, it's going to be a big Christmas weekend, and you know, this all around me, this is going to be tough. You know, you got Peter going up against Ron, I'm going up against Rich. It's all happy right here. It's all going to be right up in my face. So it's you know, when you go up against someone who's maybe not in the same town, you know, it hurts. But you don't have to face your competitor right there. But, you know, no matter what's going to happen this weekend, it's going to be everyone's going to be right there having to face the music. Like I said, we might have to be in a place that where the alcohol is abundant just to in case you have to drown the pain. it's going to be amazing. But
well, Rump, you don't have any actual lineup decisions this week, do you? Like, are you going to keep Kincaid? And even if you get 0 points from Kincaid, right? Is this going to make a difference to your team?
No.
Well, I need points for Kincaid. I need, you know, I'm going against Isaiah Likely, who's looking to have a good game. And, I don't know. You know, Barkley's going up against this Philadelphia defense, and what do I do? Philadelphia is coming off a loss. They're going to be angry. You know, Barkley scored 6 points this past week. You know,
Troy doesn't have to worry. He just I saw him. Right? I forget, was it Saturday night or Sunday? It was Sunday, and we were telling him how crazy his team was with, you know, CMC and James Cook, and he's like, really? My team is winning? I didn't know that. Like, he's so confident, he doesn't even have to check his scores.
No, he doesn't even look.
No,
he doesn't even
look. He knows he's going to win.
Every highlight I saw, I saw Cooper scoring a TD. I saw Mostert scoring a TD. I honestly thought it was not looking good. And so I kind of was trying to avoid my score because to put, you know,
I wonder how many times he hit the refresh button on his team on Sunday. Probably not often. He knew he had it. He saw McCaffrey, you know, go off for 41 points. And, you know, the whole discussion last week was hinged on, hey, Mostert, because he can score 40 points, he's the same as McCaffrey. And, you know, we're just laughing because, you know, obviously they could score the same points, but that doesn't mean they're the same player.
I didn't say they're the same player. I said they had the potential to do the same thing. They had the potential to do the same thing on any given Sunday. I didn't say they were the same player.
Yeah, he finally admitted they're not the same player after a lot of hemming and hawing, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, they had a point. And so, you know, just to see, you know, vindication of our arguments about why the trade was such and our opinions of the trade. And, you know, he's still keeping it up, Peter. I don't get it. You know, when is he going to admit? Do you think it's going to be after the season, after the playoffs, next year? Is this going to – because, you know, it's like when you do something like, you know, win a trade this badly, I mean, for you know, for Wolfie. When you damage him so, like, I don't ever think Wolfie's gonna come back from this. This is gonna be a constant reminder of why no one should trade with the rump. Oh, you know, he's gonna be, you know, you do not wanna be 58. Right? 58, he's won a championship, but he's known as 58. Rump, if you trade with him, you don't want to be the next Wolfie, because everyone doesn't want to be a Wolfie, right?
Ridiculous, ridiculous. All right, so like I said, we've got the holidays ahead of us. We've got Christmas and New Year's after that. So it's hard to say whether we're going to have a podcast through the holidays. We'll have to, you know, kind of feel it out, but it may be a time afterwards where we finally do find who the eventual Thunderdome champion might be. But, you know, in the meantime, hope everyone has a great holidays. Merry Christmas to both of you guys. And Merry Christmas to the Thunderdome. And like I said, we're looking to a great semifinal. Like I said, thanks for coming in, Peter, Wanzi, you know, and everyone out there. We hope you all guys get something good to eat.